Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Hello, everybody. The House votes on a repeal of the Obama health reform law today. It's only a symbolic vote because it won't get through the Senate. But if the Republicans take control of the Senate in the November elections, which is possible, things could really change. One key to that flip could be New Jersey, where Democratic Senator Robert Menendez is up for re-election. We will meet his challenger now, State Senator Joe Carrillos, a Republican representing parts of Monmouth and Middlesex counties, who is close to both Mitt Romney and Governor Christie. Hi, Senator Carrillos. Welcome back to WNYC, and congratulations on winning the primary for this race last month.
Great, Brian. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Good to be on the air with you.
And let's begin on the news. The House has this repeal Obamacare vote today that they know is symbolic. If you're elected to the Senate, would you vote for repeal?
Yes, I would vote for repeal. And look, you know what? We want and need everybody to get the medical coverage that they need. We want everybody to be insured. This is a good and decent society nationally, certainly in New Jersey, where I've been a state senator for a long time. We're very, very generous, as we should be. But, you know, we've got to do it in a way that is affordable and practical and sustainable and doesn't break the bank. And, Brian, let's face it, you know what? Our country is wallowing in debt. And we can't start the process of basically nationalizing and paying or at least significantly subsidizing everybody's medical coverage. You know, we need to rely on the private sector to provide coverage for their employees. And this, unfortunately, this plan, very costly. A bunch of new taxes on people, $500 billion in taxes for middle-income Americans and for businesses, is going to be very, very costly and drive people to government coverage. And we can't have it right now. We got to get our house in order. We got to make America competitive again.
So you're ready to give up the no pre-existing condition ban adults up to 26 on their parents' plans, what the Obama folks say is the individual mandate as the way that pays for all that because it gets everybody in the pool. They see that as a freeloader's tax. You think you can accomplish the popular parts of this without the unpopular parts?
I think we can. You know, here in New Jersey, we allow people with pre-existing illnesses to be part of the system. And you know, we can make sensible, common sense reforms that all of us can agree are smart, are economical, are humane, what all of us would want, but at the same time, not completely reinvent a massive percent of the entire American economy, particularly during these tough times where we have now 41 months straight of 8% plus unemployment. And really, the practical unemployment rate is more like 15% if you count people that have stopped looking for work or are underemployed. And you know what? Eventually, we're going to have to take costs out of the system. We don't look at expensive litigation. We don't look at sensible marketplace reforms where we can cross state lines and get a better deal. The people have no incentive to shop for the best possible products, the best possible ways to keep themselves healthy, because the way our system is constructed, somebody else pays for it. And, you know, we're all the same. Human nature is the same. If somebody else is going to buy the lunch, makes sense. People will take it. So
let me bring it to the state level, assuming it remains in effect, assuming that for the moment. Should Governor Christie opt in or opt out of the Obama law's Medicaid plan? You know, the Democrats say it would cover hundreds of thousands of New Jerseyans who don't currently have health insurance, and Washington will pay 100% of the tab for the first 3 years, 90% after that. So should Governor Christie opt in or opt out, in your opinion?
I think it's very, very sensible for my friend Governor Christie to wait until after this November election. We're going to have a big, huge decision to make. You know, do we think the way we've run the country in the last 3 years is going to make and keep America strong and a leader in the world and get our economy moving again and doing the kinds of things that have made America the leader that it's been, that has created the American dream possibilities for so many of us.
And that's why you're running for the Senate.
That's why I'm running for the Senate. One of these big decisions, Brian, is are we going to continue with this Affordable Care law or not? And so this election's 4 months away. The governor ought to wait and let's see what happens.
So are you willing to go on the record with the hypothetical if the Democrats retain the Senate and the Obama law, including the Medicaid provision, remains in effect, what should the governor do then? Are you willing to take a position on that hypothetical?
You're talking about the Medicaid expansion?
Correct.
Well, I don't know that New Jersey can afford it. I mean, you know, we'd have to look at the numbers and look at it very, very carefully. There's going to be a state responsibility. New Jersey is already struggling with its revenue. It's one of the reasons why this law is rightly so unpopular, because it mandates a cost to state governments, to the country at large, to the society at large, that is not sustainable. So we want everyone to be covered. Let's start with that premise. But I know that there's more efficient, more economical ways to do it.
Okay. My guest, State Senator Joe Carilus, the Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate, running against the incumbent Democrat Bob Menendez. One of the main campaign topics this week is the Bush tax cuts. President Obama has proposed keeping them for anyone making under $250,000 in a year, but repealing them for those above that line. The Democrats frame it as a matter of fairness, and the government needs the money because of the deficit. And the president says 97% of small businesses would not be touched by the increase. How do you see it?
Well, listen, I mean, we shouldn't talk about it in the past tense, Bush tax cuts. These were cuts that were made years ago now. If we don't take action, there will be tax increases, and I guess we would call them Obama tax increases or Bob Menendez tax increases. Here's the thing. Our economy is not performing. We are not producing jobs. We created 80,000 jobs last month. We don't talk about the jobs that we lost. The net of it all is that we lost jobs. And so, listen, raising taxes now in these times is not going to help with job creation. And moreover, if I thought that raising revenues on the very top income earners would deal with our deficit problem in a successful way, well, we ought to have a pretty serious conversation about that. But the impact on the deficit is minuscule. We're going to have to do something that is much, much more dramatic than raising income taxes and business taxes on the top percent of income earners. It just doesn't raise enough money. And more specifically to this moment in time, it doesn't create any jobs. How is that going to create jobs and give people that are out of work a chance to put food on the table for their employees? So listen, or for their family members, I should say, excuse me. And so, you know, small businesses pay their business tax through their personal income tax. When you raise the rates on people making whatever they're making, over 200, over 250,000, you're dealing with a lot of small and medium businesses where people work. And you know what? Listen, people are bright. This is a big flat world right now. People can move their money all over the world. It's great rhetoric. It feels good for people to say, "Oh, we're making them pay their quote fair share." But you know what? It doesn't make the economy stronger. It makes it weaker. It doesn't give people a better chance for a job. It gives them less of a chance for a job or for a better job.
Now
even my opponent, Bob Menendez, who voted against these tax cuts and has railed against them over and over and over, now he realizes that, you know what? I better not agree with President Obama and just limit these cuts to people that make $250.
I noticed that. In fact,
he wants it both ways. He wants to go out there and bang high net worth people and make a big fuss about it and get applause from people who don't understand that kind of rhetoric and that kind of policy action doesn't make our economy and our country more successful. But at the same time, whisper to the guys, oh, by the way, I want to raise it to $1 million. Well, what's the difference, $1 million or $1.5 million? Here's the deal. When you make it less possible to succeed and for businesses to succeed, you hurt everybody at every income level. And so that's my position on it.
Let me play a clip of Senator Menendez. We had pulled this for this anyway, and you brought it up. He says now he thinks the $250 million line that President Obama lays out is too low for New Jersey, that it should be $350,000 or higher for a high cost of living state like this. And here he is talking about this on New Jersey Today.
I disagree with the president just on 250. I mean, in New Jersey, if you're a police sergeant and a school teacher, you know, husband and wife, 250 is not quite the level. So I'd like to raise the level, as I've advocated for in the past. You got to give middle class families the opportunity to continue to get that tax break. But I think that those above $1 million need to be able to meet their fair share on behalf of the nation.
So how about that line, Senator Carrillos, and the question of fair share? If instead of $250,000, it was the Menendez millionaires tax, literally on people making $1 million per year or more, that they pay the pre-Bush tax income tax rates. And I guess the Democrats would say that's hardly going to touch any small businesses in terms of job creation. Well, how would you respond to Senator Menendez on
that?
Well,
listen, I love the rhetoric. There's enough people in New Jersey that make more than $250,000, so let's make it $250,000 to $1 million. And after that, there's not enough votes to care about. It's a very cynical approach, and it's a complete mismatch from the voting record of Bob Menendez, the rhetoric heretofore of Bob Menendez. Now that the president's put it out there, he's like, oh well, you know, I'm a little bit different, because he understands there's so many people that this would affect. So listen, you know, welcome to the table, really, really late, but just in keeping with his style, with his record, with his history, if he agrees with this, why hasn't he said it before? Why hasn't he done anything about it? Why has the Senate not passed a budget in over 3 years? Why don't they make sure there's not a tax cut or a tax increase at the end of the year? Doesn't he think that would provide some certainty out there, some confidence in the economy? Obviously, they're not managing the economy well. If they were, people would have more confidence, and they would invest their money. And all of our businesses, large and medium businesses, sitting with money under the mattress because they're afraid about America. They're afraid to invest their dollars in the enterprise that they're not sure is going to be the government, the country that we grew up in. So do something different. But it's fine to have a little sign about it. Go out and actually produce it. Talk about this unemployment rate that we've had now for 41 months. And so there's no production. That's why these guys should leave, Bob Menendez and all the guys, both sides of the aisle, frankly, that haven't produced, Brian.
What do you
and you know what? I think there are some high net worth people that should pay more. Not on this tax cut thing that we're talking about right now, because I just think it's counterproductive to the economy at large.
By limiting deductions?
Well, we should eliminate deductions. Yes, we should lower the rates for everybody. We should lower the rates on the corporate tax, because it's the highest in the world. So if people don't think that gives incentive to open up shops somewhere else, since we're the number one highest corporate rate in the world, they're not thinking very clearly. But there's certain hedge fund guys. There's people that take advantage of this carried interest statute here in our tax code that, you know, are making money, getting it taxed at personal income rates rather than or capital gains rate rather than personal income rate. And that's not quite right for me.
What do you think of Governor Romney in that respect? His tax return that he did release for 2010 and estimated for 2011 indicated that he pays almost all of his taxes at that 15% capital gains rate because of the way he makes his money, rather than the higher rate that he would pay if it was, you know, ordinary income. And now we have this issue of the fact that, or the allegation that he may be avoiding even more taxes by having these offshore accounts in Cayman Islands and Switzerland and so on and so forth. What do you think about that?
Well, I am not an expert on Mitt Romney's income, his tax returns, and I'm not running for president. I've made my choice as to who I'd rather see be the next president, but I'm running for the U.S. Senate, and I'll let that arena play out. But, you know, we tax people at a capital gains rate, and if Mitt Romney made his income in investments rather than personal income, it's taxed at a different rate because we want to encourage people to invest their income. And because we also recognize that that money's already been taxed, businesses pay taxes. Then they distribute dividends. They distribute income to folks that are shareholders. So it's not right to then tax it again at the same rate. And that's the whole idea behind a lower rate: fairness, because, you know, we all want to be fair. And two, we want to motivate investment. We want to motivate job creation. And so people that make money that way should have a different rate. Now, people that work at hedge funds and the like that are current income earners, that's what I'm talking about. And it's a complicated thing that we can talk about at a different time. But if you have skin in the game, it's one thing. If you make your income like you or I make our income, it ought to be based on a personal income rate.
We've just got a few minutes left. Let me just follow up on this Romney tax question a little bit, because the Democrats are making a big thing about this now, and I know you're close with the governor. Here is Vice President Biden speaking yesterday before La Raza, trying to pressure Governor Romney to release more years of tax returns to get more information about these offshore accounts and whether they were tax avoidance havens. Here, Biden ties the question to Arizona's "Show Me Your Papers" immigration law.
When his father was a candidate for president in 1968, his father released 12 years of tax returns because he said, and I quote, "One year could be a fluke, perhaps done for show," end of quote. His son has released only 1 year of his tax returns. He wants you to show your papers, but he won't show us his. It's kind of fascinating.
So the way the Democrats are asking this question is, why would Romney or any American keep money in Swiss or Canary Islands bank accounts if not specifically to avoid U.S. taxes?
Listen, I have no idea, Brian, where Governor Romney invests his money. I really don't. I know him to be an honorable and honest person, you know, and that's good enough for me. And what should be what the country should focus on, what Vice President Biden should focus on, not these distractions of where are the tax returns. You know what? That doesn't create a single job out there. This doesn't change the picture for America one bit. Why doesn't he talk about Harry Reid and the Senate situation where they don't pass a budget, where they don't pass reforms to make sure we have Social Security in place for the next half century or more, where we don't solve our debt crisis, where we don't ensure that America continues to be the leader of the world as we have been? We're on it. We're on a very, very scary, slippery slope. And so, you know what my beef is with these guys? These are not Bill Clinton Democrats. These are not the Democrats that my mother or my grandparents grew up with or supported over the years. These guys like to distort and distract. And today it's about tax returns. You know what? roll up your sleeves and do something different so we can get our economy moving again. We all want the same things, right? We all want people to have a place to work on Monday mornings, a way to make sure that their kids are provided for, a way to make sure that we have good schools. We all want good health care. Let's find a way to do it, because what we're doing right now isn't working.
We're just about out of time. My guest is Joe Carilos, state senator from Monmouth and Middlesex counties in New Jersey. He's the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate against Bob Menendez, running for re-election. Just take our last minute and tell us if you think you can win. The odds are that, you know, or the history is that New Jersey hasn't elected a Republican to the Senate in a very long time. Apparently, even this year, Romney, you know, New Jersey is not considered a swing state in the Republican Democratic presidential race. Tell our listeners why you think you can beat Menendez.
Well, listen, I think I can win, because my opponent hasn't produced for the people of the state. He's not well known, and he's not particularly well liked. And that's because there's not a real record of accomplishment. I've been a good, strong state senator for 20 years, and I'm a Republican that appeals to independents and appeals to many Democrats as well. The way I've conducted myself, the way I voted. My concern for matters across the board, for women, for the environment, and the like. And so I think that this is going to be, in New Jersey, like a lot of places, a very close race at the presidential level. Not a lot of big, long coattails. And President Obama may very well win in New Jersey, but I think he's not going to win by a lot. And that's why, as I introduce myself to the people of the state, Brian, they get a chance to look at me, look at a viable alternative, realize that, you know what, we better start doing something differently, that I feel very good about my chances. And wherever I go throughout the state, because I've been pretty active, it's been a really, really good reception. And I look forward to, you know, meeting and either literally or in other ways, your listeners who are from New Jersey, and anyone from New York that's listening and wants to support me and help me, I'll welcome
all
that.
Right. I'm glad we got a chance to hear from you on the race and on the issues.
Thanks, Brian.
And we look forward to talking again as the election gets
Thanks
closer.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, 70 Stuyvesant High School students got caught sharing cell phone camera shots of Regents exams. We'll take your calls now on the questions: why do high-achieving kids cheat, and did the Stuyvesant cheaters deserve more of a punishment than they got? Give us a call right now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, and we'll take your calls right after this.